From 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Two Timothy is Paul's final and most personal letter. He wrote it during one of many times in prison to his dear co-worker and protege, Timothy. We don't know exactly how much time has passed since he's written the previous pastoral letter, but we can see that Paul's situation has changed for the worst. We learn that Paul is imprisoned in Rome. This could be his time under house arrest that we read in Acts 28, or perhaps it's when he was arrested in Troas in 2 Timothy. Either way, Paul says that he's in the middle of a court trial and it's not going well. He does not think he's going to survive this one. But out of this dark situation, he appeals to Timothy, who is still on assignment in Ephesus, spreading the gospel. And Paul asks Timothy to come and see him in prison so that he can pass on his plans for a church plant, spreading the word. Spreading the word because, says Paul, God's word is not chained. This phrase completely jumped out at me as I was reading the gospel, the lectionary readings in preparation for today. It almost felt physical. Because I've been having lots of conversations since I got here about evangelism. Now, if I say that word evangelism, how does it make you feel?
Excited.
Oh. Now I'm looking at your faces. I may hear one person say excited, but that ain't what I'm seeing. Because, not to judge you, there are some faces here for telling me that evangelism is, oh, it's not my gifting. Thank goodness for the people who can. It's not my gifting. It makes many of us, not all of us, but it does make many of us uncomfortable. It gives us that inward cringe because it's a demand on us that it just doesn't work for us. And to be frank, I don't think the way we're used to doing evangelism actually works. Otherwise, our churches would be overflowing. We've got a great product says Jasmine Ampafar, it's fabulous and it's free, but the marketing is terrible. Is she right?
Yes.
Traditional ways of evangelism use language and expectation that do not communicate anything relevant to the people today, I believe. God's word is not chained, says Paul, but we chain it up. Let me give you some examples of what I mean. What on earth is this? I see things I recognise.
Yes.
I see letters, an arrow, a line, the colour blue. But what's with that arrow? What's with that blob in the arrow?
It's a water pipe under the ground. It's concrete.
Howard! Howard! Right, so we have one person, we have Howard, who recognises this. This communicates with Howard, and Howard communicates with this. The next slide. You see, for most of us, we need more context. We've got a wee bit more context here, haven't we? Can you tell where we're located now? It's a road. It's a road. You may know exactly where it is. If you've been walking up Back Lane, you know exactly where this is. And still, we've got familiar things. We've got letters. We've got numbers. It's becoming a little more familiar, particularly because we have a location, because of some context. But we still need more. What context have we got here? Don't you be clever. What context have we got here? What can you see that locates you?
Road edge.
A road edge. What else can you see?
An edge for sight disability.
Yes, so we've got the edge of the row of the pavement, which tells us where it's a safer place to cross. We've got that dimpled edging. We've got a bit of hedge as well, a bit of grass. So we're becoming a bit more familiar now with this communication. We know hedges, we know grass, we know pavement, we know edging, we know curbs, we know those dimples. What can you see here? What do you recognise here? Somebody's got a great job, haven't they? This is great. Do you see the circle? We recognise the circle, yes. Don't we? Yeah, we recognise the colours. There are words here that we actually know what they mean.
Access.
Required. Other side. Come on, Howard, what on earth does this mean?
Well, they're going to dig a big hole, aren't they?
Is that circle the size of the hole? It's a whopper.
They've just put the road down.
Have they just put the road down? You see, so it doesn't make sense. Even if we know what this means, they've only just done it. It doesn't make sense. We try to tell people about our faith, about Jesus. And we use terms and phrases that we get. We're familiar with it. We believe we're communicating really clearly and really effectively. Like this. It's clear. It's effective to those who know. If we're using traditional methods of evangelism, it's like this. We're chaining God's word for those who we are talking to. And how do we, as the hymn writer says, tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord? Let's ponder that as we sing that very hymn. Number 186, tell out my soul. having knocked us all down, I'm going to try and build us all up. Remember the words of Jazz and Pafar. We have a great product and it is free, but the marketing is terrible. And remember the words of St. Paul. God's word is not chained. Evangelism is not about using formulas. It's not about narrowing down the gospel, containing it into four sentences. You know these sentences. All have sinned. Jesus Christ is God's Son sent to redeem us. Repent of your sins. Believe the good news. Yes, that's a part of our doctrine. That's a part of who we are. But if we start with that, it's the same as those road markings. People will go, I kind of recognize these words. I've got no context. I haven't really got a deep understanding of the vocabulary. I don't really understand. And if we say that to somebody who has had negative experiences of church, then these terms are laden with pain and shame. So, how do we unchain the gospel? Well, we do it with something that every single one of you here is good at. We do it by relationship. Evangelism isn't formulas, it is relationship. Evangelism happens when we make meaningful connections, friendships, community. I'm sure you have all got to know your hairdresser, the people you see regularly at the Galtrees, the fella on your favourite market stall. They're familiar. Develop those relationships. Take time. Make natural connections. And then when the bloke on the market stall says, I've got to close up on time today because I'm taking my dad to the hospital, he's getting his test results. That's when you, as a friend, as someone with an actual relationship, can say, do you want me to pray for you? And that's the beginning of a natural understanding of the power of the gospel. You're doing evangelism in a way that is relevant, and you're not alienating people in the process. If you are interested in what I have been saying about unchaining the gospel, then let me introduce you to Carrie. Carrie is a mission consultant and she's going to run some sessions on evangelism, on how to do this in a natural, relevant way, which we'll be advertising soon if you are interested. Just so there's no conflict of interest, Carrie's also my wife. Friends, the word of God is unchained, but we can and do chain it up. We don't mean to. It's our desire to free it and spread it and get everybody involved in this gorgeous thing that is the love of God through Jesus. But we tighten it without meaning to. It's time to release those bonds. Amen.